Born in around 520 near St. Bride's Bay, which isn't far from the city of St. David's. And St. David's is a city purely because it has St. David's Cathedral there. If it didn't have a cathedral, it wouldn't be a city. All right? To be a city, you either have to have a cathedral or a university. For a long time, Bath didn't have a university. It had a college. And that's why it was always the diocese of Bath and Wells, because Wells had the cathedral, so that's what happened. But anyway, so it's a wonderful place to go. It's a beautiful cathedral. It's down in a dip and so on. And he was a bishop, and he is obviously the patron saint of Wales. Now, why do we wear a leek on St. David's Day? Well, because we are told that St. David was a very firm vegan. Not just a vegetarian, but a vegan. And he took to eating leeks and drinking water. That was his diet. Yes, I'm not going to go any further with that. You can make your own comments regarding, but that was his diet. He was a tall man, taller than the majority of the folk at that time. And he did a number of miracles, we're told, or the legend goes that he raised a child back to life, things like that. But the one that we know him for best, and this is, again, part of my preaching for today, is that he was a great orator. He was a great speaker. And people would come from miles around to hear him preach. And most of his preaching would be done in the open air. And one day, there was such a large crowd that those on the periphery, those at the outer edge, couldn't even see him, couldn't even hear him. And so, as he was preaching, he paused and he prayed, "Lord, these people need to hear your word." And miraculously, the ground beneath him rose up so that he was standing on a mound. And because he was standing on a mound, his voice carried further and everyone else could see him. That is how important God saw his preaching to these people, that he made sure that they could all hear. Now that, of course, reminds us of that passage in Acts, when after the Holy Spirit had come upon the disciples, now apostles, when they went out and started talking to this crowd of people who came from all over the place, each one could hear them, hear the word of God in their own language. And that day, we are told, in Acts, we're told, over 3,000 people were converted to Christ. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And so we shall, in a little bit later on, be looking at preaching the word. Oh, number 94, for those who are in the book. We now have the new screens up and so on, and we've got the heater at the door, and we've got other things. And that's where it will end. I can assure you of that. This is the house of God. This is a house of prayer. This is where God's family come together to meet as God's family before God. We come to praise him. We come to give him thanks for all that he has done. We come to ask him to forgive us. We come to ask him to intercede on our behalf into other situations. We come to pray for one another. We come to read his word. And we come to hear an exposition of that word. That, in a nutshell, is what church is about. But so many churches today are stepping away from that. Oh, we don't need a preaching of the word. Let's have a video. Let's have our worship group giving a performance. And the word of God gets pushed further and further away from the service. Now, I am told, and I find this quite hard to believe, but there was a church in America which was slightly worried about the number of people it had on its seats. And so, in this large church, believe it or not, they set up a wrestling ring. And the wrestling would be between deacons and people who came to church. And it was all... Sorry. No. but that's what they did. And so... So, you know, you can just imagine outside, wrestling here tonight. What? I find that. But that is what is happening. And as that word from Timothy says, people will look to hear or see things that itch their ears or want their eyes to see rather than the truths of the gospel. Yes, it means you get more people on the seats, but are you actually teaching them about the word of God? Are you teaching them the message of salvation? No. You're appealing to their emotions. You're appealing to their excitement. But you're not actually appealing to their heart. You're not actually trying to touch their heart. All you're trying, in many respects, to do is touch their pockets. Let's be honest. So this is why I wanted today, on the 1st of March, St. David's Day, to talk just a short while, and I will be a short while, I promise you, on proclaiming the gospel. Because when we go out of this place, after we've had our coffee and our cake and we're ready to have our little post-service nap after that, it is all our job to proclaim the gospel. Not only in what we say, but in also in what we do and in the attitudes that we hold. It's no good me saying to him, "You must love your neighbor." And then I get home and move my fence 10 feet into my neighbor's garden. Yeah? So not only have people got to hear the word, but they've got to see and the word in us as we live our lives. And why? Why must we do that? Firstly, and most importantly, is because preaching was the priority ministry of Jesus Christ. From the very day that the Holy Spirit came down upon him, he preached the word. And what was his word? The message of salvation. The word from the Father. And you can look at a number of different things that says about it. From the Gospels, you'll see. In Luke chapter 4, verse 43, Jesus said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well," i.e. not just where he was at that time, but to the other towns. And then Luke adds, "And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea." Here was a man, God's man, who had his priorities right. The word of God, the word of salvation, was for everyone. Yes, he has a go at the Pharisees and the scribes and says, you hypocrites, or you snakes. But he still preaches to them. He doesn't say, you hypocrites and you snakes, go away. He still preaches to them. On that Passover, at the Last Supper, knowing that Judas was going to betray him, knowing that Peter would deny him, he still shared that sacrament with them all. That is so important, because that means that that word, that sacrament, is for each and every one of us. No one is debarred from hearing and taking into their own heart the message of salvation, the message that God wants to be heard. And so Jesus did it. And then what do we then hear? The early church did it. The early church, those apostles and disciples, their first priority, their emphasis was on preaching. Now, the first one I've already referred to is that day of Pentecost, when each person could hear the word of God in their own language, and 3,000 people were converted that day. If you want to look at the book of Acts and you want to take a percentage, over 25% of the writing in the Acts of the Apostles is about the preaching and what they preached, starting with Peter's great sermon before the council and going right the way through to the very end. That was what it was about. Handling the difficulties of that time. Still making sure that the Aramaic-speaking Jews, who were seen to first of all be God's people, had their opportunity, but then going out to the rest of the world. One of the reasons why the apostles elected deacons, and I don't want to remind the deacons too much of this, but was because the apostles found themselves being caught up. And it's very easy to happen. You get caught up in the peripheries. You get caught up in the little tasks, which aren't quite the central task. I'm like that, and I admit that wholly. My wife will tell me I get distracted by shiny objects, like a magpie. You know where you're going. Oh, look at that over there. No, I must go. No. Oh, look at that. But as ministers, and we are all in our own way ministers of the gospel, we shouldn't allow ourselves to be distracted from that. Yes, I like doing things. Don't get me wrong. I like repairing the notice board. I like, setting up. Never mind. Anyway, but my main task, and I still hold on to it, my priority task is the preaching of the word. That is my task. That is why I have loved putting together the Lent studies for this year. That is why I love coming here Sunday by Sunday. That's why I'm looking forward to us welcoming JC's Kitchen on Tuesday. That's why I'm looking forward to the Thursday afternoon friendship group, starting on the 9th of April, because it just gives us those gentle opportunities to preach the word of God. Now, that word preach sounds at times to be a little bit over the top. Oh, he's preaching to us again. But it's not. It's about proclaiming. It's from the heart, not just from the mind. It's proclaiming, allowing people to hear. And so that is what those early disciples and apostles did. That's why Paul traveled and put himself in danger. Remember Paul in Philippi, and he's put in prison. And are he and Silas just sitting there moping away in their chains? No. They're praising God. They're singing psalms. They're reciting pieces of scripture to each other. And when the earthquake comes and their chains are knocked off, are they the first ones to run out of their cell? No. They stay exactly where they are. So that when the jailer comes in and sees them, and he hears what has happened from probably from the other prisoners as well, what is to stop me and my family from being saved? Wow. As Baptists, we are the nonconformists. And the ministry of the church fathers for us is very important. Martin Luther and so on, all part and parcel of that. The first apology was published, and it's this. It was addressed to the emperor, defending Christianity against misrepresentation. And he argued that it was true because the Christ who died and rose was the embodiment of truth and the Savior of mankind. Toward the end, he gave an account of the weekly worship of the Christians. And he said it is notable, both for the prominence given to the reading and the preaching of the Scriptures, and for the combination of the Word and the sacrament. Gamaliel, in Paul's day, when he was asked, is this a true religion? And Gamaliel's answer, because Gamaliel had been Saul's teacher, then, his answer was, if it is of God, it will survive. But if it is of man, it will die. And here we are, well over 2,000 years later. And the word hasn't changed. So the early church, as it went around the world, was being preached. And then, for us as Baptists, it's that ministry of the reformers. Luther, Latimer, people like that. Now, Hugh Latimer was a son of a farmer. And he, therefore, saw faith in very simple terms. He did not like the use of fine golden chalices and fine platters to put the sacraments upon. He wanted it to come back down to the very basics, to what Jesus himself would have used at the time. His theme one day was, God's word is seed to be sown in God's field. God's word is seed to be sown in God's field. And that we, as preachers, are the sowers of that word. I think it was Archbishop Romeo of Santiago, once said, I know that I am sowing seeds, the harvest of which I will not see in my lifetime. I told some of you who were at Bible study, I was at Burton Hill House School in Malmesbury in the mid-80s, and that was about 100 years after the gardens had first been planted. And they were just at the 100-year turn, coming to what the planter had seen in his mind's eye as he had planted them. We knew that because we have pictures that had been painted 100 years before, and they looked like the gardens we had in front of us. So he knew exactly what was going to happen. But he'd gone. The planter had gone. But there were the trees that he had planted in their full glory, in their full... So when we are planting seeds, it is so important. We need to be planting seeds all the time, scattering those seeds, making sure it doesn't matter. I once was with someone who said, we give out a lot of food parcels at this food bank, and I'm very concerned that probably half of them don't go to the people that need them. So I said, well, you should rejoice that the other half go to those that do. But that's the point. If we scatter thinly, we will reap thinly. But if we scatter abundantly, then we hope and pray that in time there will be an abundant reaping. The Bible tells us the fields are ripe unto harvest. It is the reapers who are few. The fields are ripe unto harvest. And so it is our mission, our task, to show people that that seed that has been planted, perhaps at Sunday school, perhaps something someone said to them many moons ago, a beach mission or a holiday Bible club or whatever, which was planted and has lain dormant for a number of years. But then we are there to spark it up again. I said this on Wednesday, and I'm going to say it again. There is one preacher who never rests. There is one preacher whose pulpit is never silent. There is one preacher who is always looking to reap the reward. And who is that? The devil. He is always, always about. And let me tell you this, if, and I pray that it is true, if you start to seek success, the devil will come and he will seek to knock you off course. He will seek to make you feel that what you're doing is worthless. He will seek to make you feel daft. But we have the Word of God. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen.